Yo, Pierre, you want to come out here?
In New York, I mainly rock. Hide it in my socks. Running from an op. And I shoot at op. What? And I'm on the block. What?
Bam, bam, bam. Midlife Surfer podcast listener, how the heck are you? Nice to see you again. My name's Jeff. I'm a small wave lover. I'm a coffee guzzler, Nicorette chewer, 2013 Honda Pilot driver, 40-year-old, father of two, 9 years in the game of surfing, and man, I suck.
Yeah, man.
But it's fun, and it's nice to have those little victories out there in the water from time to time, which I'm working on, I don't know, 1 to 2 times a week. Hey, Isabella Bonner. Check her out, Black Surf Club Santa Cruz. She's going to join us in a second. You can call her Bella if you're a friend. And she's just a leader in our community. And I think you'll find this interview pretty inspirational, I think. I love her energy. And she's a good example of just getting off your ass and doing something for a change. So I want you to enjoy that. Before we get to it, I want to remind you about our grand prize, Oroco, $200 in Oroco gear. And episode 60, can't believe we're going to have a 60th episode before long, but Alex is going to join us once more. And all you got to do is donate to midlifesurfer.com, midlifesurfer.com. You donate $5. I split it with the great Adam Montiel, who kindly edits and produces this show. The other half of the money, I'm starting an account where I'm saving up for a Rodecaster. It's like a nice little pod recorder system, and it'll allow the audio quality to improve, although the iPhone doesn't sound that bad. Like, I'm just holding the iPhone up to my mouth right now, just talking. It doesn't sound that bad, but namely, I want to get the darn thing so I could have a couple microphones going, and we could have multiple people on the pod instead of just me and somebody else, or just me rambling into my iPhone like I'm doing right now. You know, we could do maybe some joint interviews, or just have some roundtable discussions about surf, and all of its glory and its painful moments that it has to offer us as surfers. So midlifesurfer.com, kick me $5, kick me $25, like Lisa G. You are in the drawing. God bless you for that. I appreciate you listening. How about Joel Graham? He's in the game as well too. Joel wrote me, he's a loyal follower, an Oroco lover, and a core bodyboarder. Many thanks to Alex and his episodes. He's stoked to hear about Alex's travels and sessions together. Thanks for the comprehensive surf podcast and for being yourself. Keep up the killer content, my brother. Best to you and your family. Thank you, Joel, and thank you for listening and donating. If you didn't write me an email or a note, but you still donated, I still know who you are. And while I don't know or care where you live, I certainly want to hook you up with some Oroco gear. So keep it coming, baby. All right, let's talk to Bella here. Black Surf Club Santa Cruz. You will certainly enjoy this. And we started the podcast off with her complimenting my podcast. And I just think that's a fantastic way to start a pod. So here you go. Isabella Bonner, Black Surf Club. Let's do it.
Yeah, buddy.
I thought it was cool. Like, I think, I don't know, you create a good space for people to just be able to show up as themselves and keep it casual, which I like. Like,
yeah.
That's important, especially for me when I'm listening to podcasts.
Yeah.
I like the, like, more conversational versus, like,
yeah,
scripted, I guess.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. What pods do you listen to?
So I'm really sporadic. I listen to a lot of Girl Trek podcasts.
Girl Trek?
Yes. Okay. So I came across them. They did this pretty cool Black History Month thing a couple years ago, and they did these shorts on Black women leaders.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I love those ones that blend learning with also just like combining history and present day and like kind of guiding you through.
Yeah.
A few NPR ones.
Yeah.
And like Fresh Air.
Yes.
I'm blanking.
That's
now.
All right. I'm blanking on the one that used to just blow my mind, and I think it's kind of fallen off in popularity with the emergence of more and more podcasts, but This American Life?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing is so good with the natural sound that they use and the production quality that goes into that.
It's pretty, they do a really good job kind of floating you through it and like implementing the background music.
Yeah.
Has all the elements.
All right, I'm going to move your mic just a little bit if I may.
Okay.
All right,
yeah.
Cool. This is, you're pointing this direction.
Yep.
Good. And then, beautiful. Do you go by Isabella or Bella?
So it's actually Isabella.
Isabella, but... your boyfriend's here. Have you seen...
Time for dinner.
So good.
I'm like, it's the first time my name's... Granted, it's spelled with an I in the movie, but it's the first time my name's ever been pronounced correctly.
Anywhere. That soundtrack's banging, too.
I know. My housemates... Like, we have this thing where it's like, it's gone 0 days since we've listened to We Don't Talk About Bruno.
That whole soundtrack. And then I'll play the shit out of something, and then I'll get so sick of it, and yes. just puke it out, and then I never want to hear it again.
Right?
Oh, excuse me. Oh, cheers.
God. Oh, yeah. They
All right.
Don't care.
Isabella Bonner.
Yes. You could call me Bella, though.
Thank you. I'm honored. I appreciate it. So you're impressive. Ryan Lynch of Timber Surf Co. Told me you're going to run the world one day. So I'm intimidated right now. So bear with me. But anyway, you're the founder and executive director of Black Surf Club Santa Cruz.
Correct.
Also, I didn't, like I told you, it's a half-assed podcast. So I did about 20 minutes of research on you this morning. But Blended Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
What's that about?
So Blended Bridge was started...
Blended Bridge, forgive me.
You're good. Was started in 2019. Yeah. Was started by my friend and I. Really just like aiming to... The mission is to create and empower collective community with an emphasis on that unity piece and community. Mm. So our goal really was to bring people together, create spaces for, you know, cross-community touch points and collaboration, and ultimately just like sharing stories. So... My thing that I love to really highlight and emphasize is like the blend of history, present, and future, and how like we are the living future and we're products of our history. And yeah. so without having that lens, I think a lot of things aren't possible. And so Blended Bridge really kind of emphasized that and created spaces to hear from our community of how historical things are impacting them presently and yeah. how moving forward we can just create a more equitable
Yeah.
space.
So do you guys get together or what, like touch points, like what kind of events or how do you activate?
Yeah. So full transparency, Blended Bridge is kind of on the back burner okay. at the moment just because Black Surf is taken off in a different yeah. way. But some of the events we did with Blended Bridge was our most recent was a collaboration with the Museum of Art and History.
Yeah.
We did a 4-part summer series. So various themes, like better together, solidarity and community, liberation in the outdoors, so just brought in different community leaders and folks to share their stories, and then also blended the stories that folks were sharing with, you know, some of the Ma archives to just really bring that awareness of how those things are impacting us presently.
Right.
What we can do.
Cool.
Yeah.
You got a lot going on, don't you?
I do. Yeah. Wear a few hats.
Yeah. Yeah. What other things do you do?
So I serve... I do a lot of equity consulting work for both the city and county. So I'm on our CARES Justice group. Please don't ask me what the acronym stands
all
for because
right.
I forget.
That's all right.
But we were appointed, there's a group of us that were appointed by John Leopold. And we're working closely with the county to kind of shift policy and just shift whose voices are activated in yeah. conversations. And just kind of, I've been very recently... asked to be a board member for a couple of local nonprofits, and so kind of just dipping my toes into that.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
Great.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
It's new.
Black Surf Club Santa Cruz. So we're in bucolic downtown Santa Cruz right now. And how did you score this conference room in which we're speaking?
So I have a few people from Cruz.io actually back in September reached out to Black Surf and to myself to offer... the space for a month for me to like get my feet wet, see if I really liked it. And I had been working from home for too long and it just was like the freshest breath of fresh air to get out of my house and
You're
be
not
around.
Lying.
Yeah, it's nice. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I know.
Plug.
Right? Highly recommend getting out of the house and back to an office. I know. How ironic. I feel that way too. I have a home office and I'm self-employed. With this doesn't make me money, but you can donate at midlifesurfer.com. Like after a while, just the smell of the place, the color of my desk, the freaking laptop, everything, it weighs you down. Like I feel
it's dulling
and I need to get out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Do you do this? Is this your income?
So
what do you do for work?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is, you do a lot for work, but I'm just wondering where the money is.
Mm-hmm. So I do for a lot of the equity consulting work, I get paid through that. Right now we're transitioning to become an official nonprofit, which is exciting. So
Great.
I'm the acting executive director.
Yes.
So sporadically when we have funds, I'm able to pay myself a little wage there. But I recently am coming off being a recruiter for a tech company in San Jose, and I just, full transparency, made way too much money when working there, so I was able to create this nice little buffer for myself to pivot into Black Surf.
Good for you.
And so, yeah, right now we're getting close, but yeah, eventually this will be my full-time role as an executive director.
You from Santa Cruz?
For the most part, I moved here in sixth grade, so locals will say no. I say yes.
Yeah.
lived here for 16 years now.
Outstanding. Mm-hmm. Oh, good. You're young. Mm-hmm. You look young too. I was going to ask you that, but that's rude, but I could tell.
I'm 26.
Right on.
Yeah. Well,
good on you. Fuck, you've accomplished so much more than I was when I was at 26. Good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. I should talk to you about Black Surf Club. By the way, I was looking at your Instagram because that's what the world revolves around these days.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that you have that "I'm about that action boss" quote from Marshawn Lynch.
Yup.
Yup. And then you have hashtag good trouble. Tell me what that term means to you.
To me, well, John Lewis, I think, definitely really, he coined the phrase. And to me, good trouble is just like showing up authentically as you, as yourself, and not feeling a need to hold back to the things that you're witnessing that need attention and need a voice to it. And so it's just kind of showing up. I call myself a professional troublemaker, because I'm really here to kind of stir things up a little bit and try and get people to think about things in a different, through a different lens. And so, yeah, to me, it's just like showing up and kind of shaking up the status quo of how, you know, we've been missing the mark in ways we can positively change the world. So.
Yeah, because there's trouble, but then there's good trouble. Trouble for change, trouble for good.
Yep, which I guess to me, it was when I was organizing protests back in 2020. I've kind of did both sides, where I organized, everything I organized was basically out of love, except for one event. Which things went awry, and so I very quickly learned the value of, like, if it's not in alignment, not doing it and not trying to force the issue for certain things. And so that really brought me back to, like, okay, you want to have good trouble, you don't want to just be in trouble, you don't want to cause trouble,
right.
Like, you want it to be streamlined into something good. And so that brought me right back.
yeah I think when you come from anger, you know, I would assume that the object of protest and civil disobedience is to get a message across, but it's also to get a message across to people that otherwise maybe wouldn't receive that message or don't want to. And when you come from anger, you know, just like someone who you don't disagree, who you would disagree with, that's angry, that comes at you in anger, you're like, well, fuck off. Right?
You shut down the conversation.
Shut it down.
And
that works in relationships. It works in relationships with my wife, with my kids. You know, when you come from an angry place, it's hard to connect or get traction.
And even see the root of what you're angry about. Because to me, anger is such a valuable guiding force, but not until I sit with it and, like, work through it and find the actual core of what I believe should be different. And you just lose people and you lose your message and the values of what you're trying to actually share. And so,
that's cool. And I like that approach too. And I appreciate you sharing that on the pod for sure. All right. Good trouble. Okay. Now it's a surf pod. So let's talk about Black Surf Club Santa Cruz. Let me ask you this first. Is it, are there other Black Surf Clubs in other areas?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So this is something, there are a lot of affinity surf clubs. We actually are moving away from the club, so it's just Black Surf Santa Cruz
now. That sounds cool.
It's better, and it's, again, like, going back to that division thing, you know, trying to let people know that this is something that's for the whole community, but really trying to show people how you can do something intentionally and center a group and have a positive impact for everyone. And so, you know, that's kind of where the name came from, was just, of course, with the historical lens of and legacy of Black folks and access to water and access to points of recreation in our history. But yeah, ultimately trying to call people in and just, like, create a space to bring people together to learn safely. But yeah, there's a Brown Girl Surf up in Pacifica, Color the Water down in LA, Soulfly Surf School are both very much affinity groups geared towards surfing.
Excuse me, affinity group. What is affinity?
So an affinity group is essentially, I think it kind of got coined a lot in corporate, in the corporate world of just trying to create spaces for historically excluded groups to kind of show up authentically. a lot of times, at least for myself, in spaces that are predominantly white, there's this filtering that I always feel like I have to do, especially in, like, say, a corporate world. And so a lot of places were working to create kind of closed door safe spaces for marginalized groups or historically marginalized people to come together and just kind of be without the limitations of just racist structures, essentially. And so, yeah, affinity groups can exist in many spaces. Like, a lot of times they could be for LGBTQ+, for, you know, Black folks, for Indigenous people, for Spanish speakers. It's just kind of like creating like a safe container to talk about issues and to solve issues or to just be. So yeah, it's Black Surf is essentially kind of like an affinity group in that way.
I see. And I was going to ask, you know, why start it? But you gave some background there, but if there's any more you wanted to add too.
Yeah, for me, I'd lived in Santa Cruz for 15 years, never put a wetsuit on.
Right.
It wasn't until some of the paddle outs in 2020 that I just realized the disconnect that there was and how within surf culture and in other recreational sports, it's like this microcosm where you can see essentially all of the issues and the isms, racism, sexism, classism that infiltrate all of our systems. But in a small pocket like surfing, you can really see it magnified and you can see just the disadvantages to kind of perpetuating that culture. And so as I was witnessing those paddle outs and as I was like, hey, I want to go, but why would I go rent a wetsuit? Why would I go spend money and rent a wetsuit to join this paddle out when, like, there could be this equity lesson in action? And so it was during those paddle outs that I just put a call out to the community and was like, hey, you know, would anyone actively be willing to not participate so we can essentially make space for folks that can't, like, historically haven't had a space or can't afford to rent a wetsuit or just want to go? And I think a lot of times what's missing is just like a clear ask like that. Because so many people were like, yes, like, absolutely. I'll help you reach out to local surf shops. I'll help you reach out to this to see where we can get rentals. And it was actually Cal Surf Shop. They shut down their rentals for like the day. And they were like, "You, if you can find a list of people that want to go out, will absolutely provide free wetsuits."
Outstanding. And so was it a surf school?
No, so it was Cal Surf Shop.
Yes, got it. But say, let's say your list of people, when they paddled out, many of them first time surfing?
First time in a wetsuit for the most part, yeah.
So they're getting a lesson out there, or did you guys just go rip it up?
We, so for the first, for the paddle outs, we just all went out.
For the paddle outs,
yeah,
right.
And paddled out. But for our group, yeah, we provide pop-up surf lessons.
Cool.
And just, yeah, we'll do like a 30, 45 minute sand session and then you're in the water.
Dude.
Before you know it.
Like for a first timer, that lesson is hard. I mean, it's hard.
You don't know until you're in it.
You don't know it. And how exhausted you are.
I know.
I have a buddy out in New York, works for Complex. Anyway, good guy, super athletic. And I took him surfing. And I full disclosure myself, I've surfed for 9 years.
So nice.
I'm an adult learner, right? I started when I was 31.
Love.
So I imagine we share similar struggles in regard to performing you know, that action on the surfboard. But he's like, my shoulders. And I'm thinking, like, I know what you mean, but it's not even your shoulders. It's your back. Like, that's where the action is, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's just so many. And then staying balanced on the board, keeping your legs splayed, you know.
Your abs.
Keep your abs, keeping it together. How long have you been surfing?
So I actually learned how to surf through the organization.
Outstanding.
So 2020.
Excellent.
Yeah.
How often do you go?
So haven't gone in a little while because I hurt my shoulder.
You did?
Unfortunately, yeah. But I definitely, last time I went, got bit by the bug.
Yeah.
And I'm just ready to risk it all with the shoulder and get back out there.
Did you hurt your shoulder?
Kayaking. I was putting it on top of a car. I like overextend. I know.
Shoulders
and I don't
are
even
tricky.
Love kayaking.
You don't or do?
I like, it's fun, but not enough to be out of surfing for this longboard.
No, it's kind of boring after a while. Yeah, it looks cool on paper. Same, I don't know if you ever did that Chardonnay yacht or something like that. Chardonnay.
Not yet.
My wife and I have done it. I've always wanted to do it. You know, we got tickets. And it's like, after like 15 minutes, you're like, how much longer are we on this? I'm like, it's going to get cold if we get any further out there, right? Like, I wish I wore a sweatshirt.
Totally.
That's cool. So, are you on a foamy still?
Yeah.
Good. That's fine.
I'm on a big old 10-foot foamy.
Hell yeah. You catch a lot of waves on that.
You could eat a sandwich on it.
Yeah, you can. First wave I caught was on a 10. I was trying to surf on a, like a 9 foot. I bought a Bing. I bought like, I got scored on a used board. I regret that I sold it now, now that I know how to surf. Mm-hmm. Eventually someone just said, get on a big ass, you know, 10 footer. And it was Richard Schmidt Surf School.
Nice.
And I was like, I'm a trustworthy guy. Mm-hmm. And so I tend to give trust. I find people who are trustworthy also give trust to people until mm-hmm. you're, you know, burned, right? And I just appreciated this. I called him. He's kind of intimidating. I just started surfing. He's got this gravelly voice. You know, he charged Mavericks and, you know, I don't know anything about him. Never even met him. He's like, yeah, I'll put it on my lawn. Here's my address. And if you like it, put $300 in my mailbox. And I was like, yeah. I was like, God bless this guy. Yeah, right on. I was like, yes, sir. I was like, I'll take it. I haven't seen it.
It's in the mailbox.
I know. Yeah. Don't fuck with Richard Schmidt in town, dude. He knew that I was going to put that money in there. It was an old used. So that's one recommendation to beginning surfers too. Call surf schools and ask if they have old boards that they want to move too. Because that's how I scored mine.
Yep.
And anyway, I caught my first wave at the hook on a 10-0, you know, and like going down the line. And when you're like, oh, wait, you're not supposed to go straight. You're supposed to turn.
That moment was everything to me. Yeah. When one of our coaches was like, yeah, you see that spot on the beach? Next time you go, just lean that way because you're ready to go down the line. And I was like, down the line?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Exactly.
It was epic, though. And then it happened. And I was like, that's what it is.
That's cool.
That's what it means.
So how much actual surfing, how many events have you had with Black Surf Santa Cruz where you had the crew out there?
So to date, we've hosted 8 pop-up lessons.
Killer.
And gotten about 50, 55 students out in the water.
55 students?
We have 165 members signed up. Oh, so shit. Haven't done enough in my opinion yet, but yeah, 55 folks. We've also done one private pop-up where we hosted a group of folks from Oakland and provided a same pop-up program schedule, like
right
for them.
Yeah,
it was awesome. And then our Liberation paddle out was huge last year. It was like the first annual. We partnered with the city and we had folks from Bay Area come, a lot of local residents, provided all the equipment. We had about 80 people attend and provided equipment for like at least 70% of everyone that was there. So it was pretty epic.
Yeah, I was a slow learner, man. I couldn't get up on my board. I would get on one knee for like 2 months or something. It was embarrassing. My wife was like, did you get one yet? And I'm like, I did, but I couldn't get to my freaking feet. I surfed this morning and I kept stalling. I couldn't get to my feet a couple times.
It happened.
Yeah, it does happen. Have you seen students that were like, first time they've been in the water, or not the water itself, but I mean like out here in Santa Cruz or surfing, but then they like, they get it like quickly and you're like, mother effer, how do we do that so quick?
So I think I was one of those people that pissed a lot of people off, that they were just like, how the hell does she get it? Like,
like, this is my club, follow along.
It's the spirit. Yeah, exactly. Vibe check. But we actually had one student, she, it was either my age or a little older than me, lived in Santa Cruz, born and raised, never put on a wetsuit, never surfed before. She came out with us, caught a wave, went and bought a wetsuit the next day. And I was just like, this is epic. This is just everything. But a lot of folks have it. And then some people just show up and have no desire to stand up, you know, just want to bob and float with us. Love that.
Yeah.
Ride it with their stomach. Just feel it.
Yep.
But I've been surprised, like, people got it. Like, they've been waiting for their opportunity to shine in the waters. How it
hate
feels.
Those people. It's become so easy. Golf, too. I golf maybe once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
Enough to the point where I'm like, I need to never golf again, or I need to golf all the time, which I'm definitely not going to do. Surfing
commit
takes,
already.
And it's expensive as hell. And like, it's just, I'm just not a golfer. But, you know, surfing 1 hour, 2 hours doesn't, you know, aside from the fixed cost of your wetsuit and your board, you can get back at it. And then I've, you know, what's the analogy I'm making? Golfing to surfing. I remember my buddy Bora, my roommate with Cal Poly with him. We went golfing. I was like, he's like, I've never been golfing before. Oh, cool. This will be fun. And then he like just strokes it straight after straight after straight. And I'm just like all over, just the same old shitty golfer I am normally. Some people just have it.
Some people really just have it. And I always am super excited to watch their faces when they realize they have it. And they're like watching everyone, like, why don't you get it?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, at least you do.
How
That's
special.
Good for you. Yeah,
yeah.
Go ahead.
That's excellent. How do you recruit participants?
Honestly, it's been just word of mouth and social media to this point. It grew faster than I could have ever been really? Prepared for. Yeah.
That's because it came out of love. Sometimes you just don't have to try and it starts fire.
Mm-hmm. I think that was, it just was just the intention was behind it, the energy and just the actual space. Like there was the need for it too.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I don't see many black surfers in the water.
I know. Yet. Yeah. It's very, it's unfortunate. They exist. There's a lot of like OG black surfers that I had to kind of meet up with and be like, I'm sorry. Yeah. You know, like I want to do more to highlight you, to like showcase that you've been doing it. Yeah. You've dealt with this for years. Yeah. Yeah, not very many, unfortunately.
No, there's not. Why do you think that is?
One of the things I've really realized with the club, and I think this is a stereotype I perpetuated growing up, is just like that black people don't surf or swim. Hmm. And so when you're one of those disruptors to that, mm-hmm. it can feel very isolating. And so I think just pure like generational trauma with water, not having a good relationship with swimming, those are some of the things that I've seen, and it's something that comes up in conversations with, it's very generational, because a lot of older folks and a lot of people will just be like, oh, you'll never catch me out in the water. And, and at first I would kind of like giggle and laugh along, but the more I would hear it, the more I'm like, wow, this is so deep seated within our community.
Interesting.
Of just genuine fear of like psychological safety. It's just not there. And then you add the dimension of like racism and it not being very welcoming on top of not having that psychological safety, it's just not going to happen. Yeah. And so that's kind of why creating these containers for people to associate a positive experience with their first one, I think it really encourages people to actually take it up and like go invest in a board or a suit themselves.
Yeah. I gather you learned to swim as a young kid. You probably don't even remember it. And that same here.
Yeah. I was very fortunate in that way.
Right. And so it's hard to, I definitely empathize, but it's hard to really understand the fear of water. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you can't swim or you're not adept, you're not around water too much, that's freaking terrifying.
Yeah.
Have you had participants who are terrified of the water go out there that can, like, and you want to make sure you can swim, obviously, competently, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't want anyone hurting themselves out there, but I mean, have you had people overcome such a fear?
I think, to be honest, I'm one of those people. So
really?
I have a background in swimming, but I'm not a good swimmer at all. If I didn't have that big flotation device that is my surfboard, I wouldn't be swimming in the ocean. I wouldn't feel safe or comfortable without it. And I actually, like, before I had gotten back in the water in 2020, was coming off of, like, a traumatic experience at the Cove. I got sucked out and hadn't been out in the back in the water for years. I just, like, was like, nope.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of one of those folks that overcame just like the big fear of it, and being in a group setting really helped with that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. We've had people that have come out and like turned their board around and been like, too cold.
Yeah. For sure.
But a lot of the folks that have just expressed that they're scared, we created a prepare to pop up program.
Great.
That emphasizes just like swim lessons and just pure water relationship building at a pool. And again, another safe container that's not the ocean.
Right. So. Well, apropos of the issues you're discussing there, you know, in regard to being uncomfortable around water, I mean, that's the core of it, right?
Totally.
So that's a huge value.
Huge barrier.
What a great service.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. What a cool resource for people. That's killer. Yeah. I was on vacation. It was the first time I ever went to Hawaii. I was at Cal Poly. I kind of felt dorky that I was going on a family vacation with my parents, but I'd never been to Hawaii, and they were going. And they're like, Jeffrey, if you want to come. I said, okay, I'm coming, of course. And my dad and I bought, you know those like little boogie boards they sell at like that Walgreens or whatever? Mm-hmm. Like they have like an orca whale on it.
Totally.
They're like, just like, and we were in Maui, I think. And I remember like, we're boogie boarding. It was before I surfed, right? And you know, just going straight, you know, and having fun and like, Dad was kind of out there. I go, dude, come inside. You can catch waves closer to the shore. He goes, I can't, Jeffrey. And I was like, yeah. And this is, I had a good lesson with the ocean there. And of course, I'm like, oh, I'll get you out there. So I go right where he is. And I'm like, what's wrong? Come on. You know, I'm kind of like embarrassed. You know what I mean? You're embarrassed with your dad on a freaking little Shamu boogie board. And I'm like, what's wrong? You just turn it. He goes, Jeff, look how far we are. And I turn. And I'm not lying, man. It's easy to have hyperbole, but the beach was, well, you know this if you got swept out. It was far fast. Mm-hmm. And not only that, I'm not even going to guess, but it was freaking scary far.
Yeah.
And it was quick how fast we got out there. And not only that, but everyone on the beach was now standing. Like identified like the two like lost in the water. And now I'm like mortified, yeah. Right? I'm 19. I'm just like, well, and my dad just starts going, and there's these Hawaiians, these like gardeners that are on this kind of peninsula, and they're pointing, they go, swim that way, pointing parallel with the beach, right? Because that channel's taking water. It's got to go back, when the waves crash, that water has to go back out somewhere, and that's the channel. And when you learn to surf, and you'll see this down the line, you can start using the channel to your advantage, because you realize how to get out of it. You turn, you start going perpendicular, and you swim out of that river, and now you're back in the break. I didn't know that. Until those guys, and so I and my dad's just like, we need a boat, we need a boat.
Me, when you it's can't like, even think rationally.
How many Hawaiians
anymore?
Have like had to say freaking dummy howlies on freaking Shamu, you know, boogie boarders, right? So they're like, no, just go that way. And I'm like, I'm kind of freaking out a little bit. And God bless her, this girl came out with flippers and a boogie board, Hawaiian girl, proper surfer, and she goes like, I'm so embarrassed because she's kind of cute. And I'm like, fuck. And she's like, do you have energy? I'm like, yeah, I have energy. I'm good. And he's like, and my dad's like, no, I need help, you know? And so she's like, okay, she points at me. She goes, you go that way. Just like the gardeners were saying. So I said, okay. And now I'm like really motivated. Now that I know what to do, I got my marching orders. Mm-hmm. And then sure enough, I started catching there were some decent waves, catching them, you know, making it in. And then she tugged, you know, my dad all the way.
Wow.
And then got him going and pushed him in. And when we landed, the whole beach was clapping. It was so freaking mortifying, dude. I put my head down. And that girl, my dad called her Surfer Girl, but like she like disappeared. She was like, yeah, all right, whatever.
Like a mermaid.
Yeah. And my dad was like, I want to buy her a gift or something as a thank you.
You saved us.
Anyway, what was your story? How'd you get sucked out?
Oh, I was at the Cove. Kind of similar. It was like a bigger day, and so when it hits the rocks and starts to get the rip current
going. What's the cove you're referring to?
Sunny Cove.
Got it.
Sunny Cove Beach, yeah. There was this rip current, and it was like big enough that there were surfers right over there, and so I should have known, but I just kept getting sucked further out with that rip current, and my the waves kept smacking me, and my hair was down, and so I kept... Every time I would have a second, my hair would be through my face, and I'd try and take a breath and like inhale my hair, and I was just starting to really freak out, and just not think rationally, and I was like screaming. It was supposed to just be a fun beach day, and I was like, somebody help me.
Yeah, you start freaking out.
You do, and you're like wasting energy on it, and the set was just coming in so hard, and the next thing I remember, this guy was like, get on my board. And I forget how exactly I got in, but the second I hit the sand, I just like laid there.
God.
I was like, land, I'll never get in the water again. Yep. I was terrified.
That ocean doesn't give a damn about you.
Humbling.
Yeah. It doesn't care about you. And it's probably good to get spooked, you know, because I'm pretty conservative out there, you know.
I think so too.
And I go surf Manresa. I'm not scared of sharks or anything, but I've gotten in the channel again and looked at that beach. I was like, oh no, you know, and then you start going that parallel and you're like, I am not even moving, but you do, you got to keep the faith and you have to stay calm.
Yeah. That's you. Cause you can waste so much energy
being
worked out. Yeah. And worked up. And so
same goes if you're going to save someone and they're panicking, they will, without knowing, grab you to hold you down, push you underwater and drown you with them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were doing that, you know, to whoever's listening, not that I've saved anyone out of the water, but my father-in-law has, and he said the first thing he did, he was a lifelong surfer down in Cayucas, but he said, you need to calm down, like, you know, smack him, like, hey, I'm not going to help you
if
you
keep,
you know, wiling out like this. You need to, you know, calm down, and then, you know, you could get it done. I always have a question, when was the last time you were scared out in the water? And that was a good one.
That was it. Straight fear.
What is your, what's your best moment in the water? What's your best memory that you have right now resonating in regard to surfing?
Oh, I have a couple.
Let's share them.
The first is just the first Black Surf pop-up event that we did. And when I caught my first wave, and just the feeling was something I've never experienced. It's like you're flying. Like, I can't even explain it.
Yeah.
You're just like soaring through the air, but you're on water. And so catching my first wave was definitely it. But I think also I have a lot of like epic moments through the club, through other people's moments of just like watching people catch a wave for their first time. And so I feel like I get like that feeling continuously, which is cool. It keeps it very new, feeling very new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. and then you think you got it, and then you go out there, and then you're humbled.
You look like Buddy the Elf going up the escalator. Your legs are like all
I know
doing the splits on the board. You're like, oh, I thought I looked way cooler than that, but okay.
Oh yeah, don't ever watch yourself surf on camera if you can avoid it.
I can never find myself, so that's always good.
It's good.
Works for me. Yeah.
Give it a couple years first if you try. It'll be easy. It'll be easier on your psyche.
Going straight.
So it's blacksurfclubsantacruz.com.
Yes.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. And then can listeners donate?
Yes. Yeah. So we have a donate button on our website. And then since we're in the process of becoming a nonprofit, most deductions from January onward will actually be tax deductible.
Cool.
Very excited about that.
Yeah, excellent. And if someone had a beater board or something, do you accept those donations?
So right now, I'm so excited to say we're actually pretty good. We have our foamies. I think we have taken in the past wooden boards, so when people are ready for that next level, to be able to share. But we're actually in a place where we're solid right now.
Do those wooden boards come from Ryan Lynch at Timber?
I think a few may have.
Yeah, just say yeah, you know.
Yeah, Timber Surf is the best.
He is the best, by the way. He's
the
a cool dude.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah. I really appreciate just the work they do in our community.
Yeah, he's about the cause. And you are too. And what I like about him is that he puts his work where his ethos are.
Mm-hmm.
Ethos, I don't know. It comes from an authentic place.
Yep.
And you see it, like I talk board design and geek out, and he's like, I can't use this blank because it has, you know, whatever toxic material in it. You know, I need to find, you know, and I know that because I've done business with him. I met him on the manufacturing and he contacted me for an adhesive of sorts. So then we got to, anyway, but yeah, he's like, it's got to meet this spec and it's got to be, you know, specifically green to these standards, you know, which is pretty cool. So
yeah,
shout out to Ryan for sure. So your quiver right now is a big foamy. All right, we got your best moment.
Yep.
That's a good one. We know what you like about surfing. What is it? Like, what's one thing you don't like about surfing? The process of it, specific. You can get as granular as you want or as macro.
I think I don't appreciate the disconnect in surfing. Mm. Like, I think the values of surfing are in alignment with those of, like, equity and inclusivity and oneness.
Mm-hmm.
But I think surf culture has been whitewashed for just like lack of a better word, especially here in Santa Cruz. Like, just considering, you know, it's three Hawaiian princes that brought surfing to Santa Cruz, and then just looking at the lineup now, it's kind of like, well, what happened?
Yeah.
What happened?
The princes didn't stay here and procreate.
Yeah.
And back.
And so I think that's one of them, in just the culture. Essentially, like the very, very hyper masculine, individualistic, like it at its core, it's community based and its values are community based, but it's for the select few, or you have to be kind of jumped into being accepted into that culture. Mm. And to me, I'm just kind of like, I'm good off that. Like, I would rather, like, just the hyper competitiveness.
It is merit based. And I know this because I get, you know, I've gotten barked at and I've gotten, you know, like, I know, like, oh fuck, you know, I'm not going to fuck, you know, try to get away with this dude, you know, and I'm not good enough for this wave, you know?
Yeah.
So these are the guys, these are the hot shots. And it is, masculine's one term for it. But then again, I mean, I see females out there that are ripping too, you know, probably to the tune of like 10, every 10 to one surfer out there, probably, if that. But it's intimidating. And there's a degree to it that is merit-based. You know, you or me cannot paddle out to, you know, 9'26", you know, and expect to get tubed and stuff, right?
I would not.
No, you'd get killed. I would, me too.
Yeah.
I'd get hurt, right?
Yeah.
So if we did, we'd be a liability, right?
Yep.
To get in somebody's way, right? So there is.
Or for them to have to save us.
There's kind of like, I guess what I'm trying to rationalize is like, I've gotten barked at, and I wonder if I was a black woman, if I would interpret that, you know, as an offense, you know, versus, you know, just some fucking prick who's crusty and angry, right? And then on the other, you mentioned the core of surfing. Also, it is communal in that you're in a pack of people and you are one with nature, and there's all these beautiful things, the reasons I do it. But it's also like a selfish endeavor too. You know, I need this wave. Do not drop in on my wave. I need like this dopamine hit, you know? I need this wave. Like, there's just a lot going on out there, but it's not, none of it's like comfortable.
Yeah. And I think to me, there's like the merit-based thing. I'm like, well, you know, like how, okay, let's just take a place that's a beginner spot.
Go ahead.
When people are barking at you at Cal's or 38th and they're on a foamy too,
yeah,
and you're like, okay, dude, like you know, that's the part where I'm like, I get the merit-based just out of pure safety.
Right.
But I think, how can something be merit-based that isn't accessible or equal to people? And that's where, like, the real inequities come into play. And it's, yeah, it's just, it's not like a level playing field. But I do think there's, but it, yeah, it's such a privilege to be an asshole in the water. Because to me, I'm, like, scared.
Yeah.
I'm out there trying to, you know, stay afloat, stay out of people's way, be respectful.
Yeah.
Sharks, there's, like, all of these layers. Look out for a group. And and I'm just like, I don't have time to be rude to anyone.
Right.
That's just so far off my radar.
It doesn't seem like it's in your fabric.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to get there.
Yeah.
So that's the part where I'm like, I agree with the merit of, like, safety and pure self, like, self-selecting in or out, kind of like, okay, 9-foot wave, not for me.
Right.
I know that. But when we're all at Jack's or Privates or somewhere so mellow, that's when I'm like, no, you can, you go over to Sewers or for Second Peak or something and bark at people. That, like, it's just, that's where I'm like, where's the safe space to learn?
Yeah.
If people are being so territorial over these, like, silly little, you know, beginner spots.
Yeah, it's true. I like longboarding because the vibe is...
That's what I've heard, chiller.
It is.
And you can feel it, too.
And it is more... It is. It's like, it's easier to catch a wave on a longboard. It is. That's a better beginner board to learn. But, like, I geek out on longboarding all the time. And you start to, like, feel, like, different nuances. And you're like, all right, now I want to learn to step. You know, I want to learn to, you know, nose ride. And when do I nose ride? And you got the weight, you know, and surfing in the pocket. You want to listen. There's a good pod of mine. Ombi. Check out the Ombi one just for surf instruction. This Australian dude.
Cool.
And he was just talking about, like, and the Ombi surf is a, it's, I don't know, it's like an online surf school or whatever. There's a lot of free stuff they put out there that I find helpful. But he was like, just try to surf in the pocket. I'm like, what does that mean? You know, because I'm just like race down the line. You catch it and you turn and like whatever's happening behind me, like I don't even know what's going on. But he's like, so I went out at, I don't know, Privates, right? On low tide, like no one's around. That's what another thing I like. I like small ass waves, like when no one's around. Yeah, because then you could, you get reps. Next thing you know, you have 15 waves and you kook half of them. But then you're like, I got a couple there.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm just going to stay in the pocket. I'm going to try to turn around and see where that curl is and like turn my body that way and get back in it and then turn my body back down the line. And then when I, and then I'll just try to do that again. Like focus on just one, you know, damn thing. So I don't know. I like longboarding, but the vibe is cooler with longboarding. And there's a good group. I do Sunrise with Capitola. I return to over and over again. And if you ever wanted to surf with me out there, you'd be more than welcome to. You would would not be vibed there, I promise.
Cool.
Yeah, but don't tell anybody.
I've never been to Capitola yet, so
it's a
Fun wave.
It's a bunny slope wave, but boy, I could spend the rest of my days on it.
That's what I love about it. I'm like, oh, it's short, it's sweet.
I've got, but I've had like my scariest. Like when I was when I was 2 years in, it was like a 6 or 7 foot day, and I thought I knew what I was doing. And fuck, the first lesson I did was like, don't take the unless you know feel it, but like don't take. It was like cold, and I was like the first one out there, and it was glass. It was no waves, and I knew something was coming according to Surfline. Sure enough, I see like a mountain in the distance, and I turned on the first one, and I just pearled it immediately.
Oh no!
And the wave like held you down. You know, I've never been held down before, where it really felt like someone was holding your shoulders and just pushing you down. And I made it, and blah blah blah. But I guess you gotta go through. That's what makes surfing kind of cool, because you have to pay those dues. Like you know what it feels like to get sucked out in the water now.
Yeah, yeah. I've had Privates. It was Privates for me. I got. It was a great day. Like, it was probably the biggest day I've ever surfed, and I loved being at Privates because we were still kind of away from a crowd.
Yeah.
And I got caught, and my friend was like, swim perpendicular, same thing. And I was like, I'm tired.
Yeah.
Like, I can't move.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is one of those things where, like, kind of trial and error, even getting over waves. She's like, okay, lift your body or lift your board. And on foamies, it's kind of harder. You can't quite go through them as easy.
Yeah.
But yeah, you do kind of have to learn by getting tossed around a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, you do. You mentioned racism in the water. Have you experienced that in Santa Cruz?
Yes, I have.
That's sad.
Privates, unfortunately. I mean, Privates is the one incident that it was like very, very blatant. We had a woman, it was on this actual same day that I was just talking about. There was a woman there who who was just stink-eyeing us the whole time, fine. She yelled at my friends and I for, like, dropping in on someone. It wasn't someone she was connected with. And she went up to every single person there and introduced herself right in front of us. And then came up to us and said, "You guys don't belong here. I know everyone that comes here all the time." And I was like, "You literally just..." And we were the only people of color in the water. So she went and, like, said hi to the folks that resembled her, that she felt safe introducing herself to. And to us, totally singled us out, told us we don't belong there. I was like, well, maybe she means because, like, she's bitter about the privates transfer. It's Publics now.
Trying to give her the Publics. That's
benefit
right.
of the doubt.
Right.
And then we were all there, like, getting reps in. And she just was still being stinky. She's a stinky lady. Like, her energy was just stinky.
Yeah.
And I just finally was like, "Hi, what's your name?"
Yeah.
And she was like, "My name's so-and-so." And I was like, "Okay, well, my name's Bella, and I don't appreciate, like, you yelling at us and blatantly, like, kind of singling us out as the ones that don't belong here when you, like, know everybody." And she, like, paddled away all angry. And then when she came in the next wave, she was like, "I'm sorry." And I was like, okay.
That's good. Good thing you stood up for yourself. And you humanized it.
I tried to. I was like, we're both people. Names help. Names help with that a lot.
They do, don't they?
Yeah. Because now it's like, are we going to run into you? Like, I'm a human outside of the water.
When you're running for, like, U.S. Senate in California, you're going to, like, know everybody's name. Nice to meet you. Is that
Yeah. She wasn't very nice.
Scrutiny.
I know.
Who are you? I've never met a kid out there. And if I ever see her, I'm going to...
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, that's too bad. Well, hopefully things will change there. There's another contradiction I find myself returning to is that, like, I moved to town here and I started surfing, which is really annoying to the people who've been surfing here the whole time, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever. And now I find myself not annoyed with the crowds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want more people surfing. So on one hand, and I do a surf podcast, so I get it. I, like... The more people that surf, the better, mm-hmm. you know? But at the same time, you're like, I don't care what color you are. I don't want more surfers right now.
Yeah.
But that's the selfish core of surfing. That's what I'm, you know, I know that's not a good instinct.
Well, I will very guiltily admit that about a year in, I found observed myself feeling that.
Yeah.
And I was like, Bella.
I know.
I was like, you've been surfing a lot. I was like, no. And so I tried to shed and shake. Because it's ironic. It's like, I'm sure... The indigenous folks to Santa Cruz who don't have access to surfing they're really the ones who have a right to be, like, the most annoyed about that. But it's just funny how we, like, get into this space of, like, nope, I'm annoyed. Like, instead of getting kind of deeper into it.
We're just, like, selfish at our core. So I catch myself when I have those thoughts too. I'm like, this is a good chance to be kind of zen, you know, give the wave to that person. You know, you're not in a competition, or go home, like, if you're in a bad space. Yeah. And I bet that...
wish I never said her name.
Okay, I could edit it. I could bleep it if you prefer. I will. I'm going to make a note right now. Where was I going with it? I don't know. Yeah, don't make me use another bleep.
Oh, yeah. Beep. Like, what is she over there saying?
I don't know where I was going with it. But yeah, you just kind of, like, take a breath. When that gal, you know, confronted you and your friends, it even if... it's resolved and she apologized, or let's say it was resolved much smoother than that, even that would stick with you. Like, that ruins my, like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Once I get, like, yeah, if you have a confrontation with someone, and that's why I don't want to say something to somebody, because, like, who the hell am I? But it ruins the whole vibe.
It's the energy on the lineup is so contagious, and that's why I don't get why there's not more conversation around how toxic it can be and how... Like, one stinky person really can ruin the vibe for everyone, but we've kind of condoned it as, like, oh, it's kind of the culture, or this or that, or you dropped in on... I'm like, well, like, we're on land, we're responsible for the energy we bring into spaces. Like, why is that different in the water? And so I just think it's a funny, like, no rules apply out there. And I'm like, well, you know, this really does stick with people.
Yeah.
It's like bullying. It's like, you know, it sticks with people as a lasting imprint. So it should be, I don't know.
Well, you know, for better or worse, through organizations like yours and through kooks like me who start surfing, that generation's changing. It's more
the tides.
It's more of us out there than the core dudes out there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
And I mean, the hope is too that, you know, we won't conflict on days because I'm trying to get my little three to five footers in. Yeah. I'll be out your way on the big swells. Yeah. So yeah. I guess it'd be better if that was kind of reciprocated.
I like what you said, energy is contagious. And I agree. And sometimes if it's negative energy, if I'm present enough, I would try to be positive to someone to start that contagion. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I can see in your eyes, you're a positive person. So I'm glad you're out there surfing too.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh shit. Okay. We're at, are you okay on time?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. I was creeping on Instagram and you had one post. You just had items I just wanted to touch on. So you had a hell of a year in 2021. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just highlighted a few of them, but I wanted to ask you about a couple things. Don't have to get specific on this one, but okay. You started therapy. You did post on Instagram, so yeah. I feel like it's okay
public.
To ask.
Public. Right, right. Info.
10 out of 10 recommendation.
10 out of 10. Changed my life.
All right. Is that right?
Yeah. It got me better at getting to the root of things. Mm-hmm. Again, like so easy to be angry about this, that, or the other thing, but it like made me view things in a way of like, how can I channel this or how can I use this emotion positively, like how can I just work with it better? Calmed me down. I was a little bit of a hothead for a little bit there, and it just, yeah, it kind of got me to be more introspective in that way. And it's so funny. Recently, I've been like, ugh, like why am I giving people so much grace and empathy? But that's therapy, so
good for
definitely,
you.
Yeah, positives. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard a psychiatrist. I don't know which one, but. Talk about like what therapy does and you know what you and I are on the surface right now are what you're normally thinking. That's the tip of the iceberg, right? And then there's water.
Yeah.
And then it's really painful. And I've gone to therapy before and there's things I like, it touches a, you know, like I don't want to fucking talk about that. Like, nah, I'm too tired. Like, I'm cool. I'm good. You know, it's uncomfortable. And so she was saying that this is like the ice water, you know, what therapy does is over time, you put your face in the water.
Yeah,
and you're looking submerging. Down to what's below the eye. Have you heard this analogy?
No.
And it was a good one. It helped me a lot. And it was like, and at first it's all blurry and you won't see a damn thing, right? And then, but it's painful. The ice on your water,
it
on
is
your face.
Painful.
It is. And, but she's like, over time, you know, like you'll see parts of that. And I'm not some self-realized person. So, and I'm not in therapy. I probably should be, but, I'm looking like, you know, over time you see the iceberg and you start to see aspects of it, you know, and then it comes in clearer and clearer and clearer. And that's what a good therapist can get out of you. And then she's like, and before long, you know, like how to navigate your boat around those, you know, icebergs, right? So that's cool. It sounds like more empathy and grace means you're navigating that iceberg a little bit better.
Yeah, definitely a lot more patient with folks.
Yeah.
I take time for reacting these days.
Good for you.
I know. I hope it lasts forever.
I need to take advice from you on taking time before you react. All right, you left your job. That was no longer serving you.
Yep.
Do you care to share any more than that?
So last year, I think coming off of 2020 was a huge year for me, like pivotal, just really kind of got slingshotted into this role in the community. And it was one of those moments like, are you going to step into it? Or are you going to like kind of cowered from what I could feel was very much like a calling that I was like, oh, like, do I really want to leave this cushy tech job with a ton of security into this truly unknown? And so I took a mental health leave, actually, was how it started. I was like, I need time off from work. Like, things have been so crazy. I guess just a leave of absence, but for mental health reasons.
Yeah.
And that's when I started therapy, and that's when I realized we were going through an acquisition at my company, or we had been acquired, and it was like the culture was just going downhill. Yeah. And I was like, now's the time like to get out. And yeah, that moment was very pivotal. It just like changed my life and gave me some space to like decide.
That's brave too.
Yeah, it was, couldn't have done it without having like the support and just like the willingness to be uncomfortable because it shifted everything. Yeah. And then things just took off.
Good for you.
Yeah.
You gotta be willing to be uncomfortable to learn to surf.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you do with Black Surf Club. Santa Cruz, Black Surf Santa Cruz. That sounds cool. Black Surf Santa Cruz. That's like BSSC.
BSCSC.
Yeah, I like that. Cool. All right. Good for you on that. By the way, and speaking of Black Surf, You won best surf school?
Okay.
You wrote it.
Yes, we did. We won best surf school. We were voted in. Never advertised or asked for that to happen.
That's outstanding.
We're not a surf school.
That's even better.
So I just remember cracking up. I found out my first week of my leave of absence from work. Because I was like, wow, like, I know I want to do this. I know. And the universe kept dropping these hints, like, you're doing the right thing, like winning best surf school. And I was like,
right,
I can't market this. We're not a surf school. That's so misleading. And then I was like, the surf schools are going to hate me. Sure. But yeah, it was a huge accomplishment and just so unexpected, which was kind of the
That's the good trouble you're talking about. Like, if it irritated the surf schools, I kind of like that.
I love it. I love it. I can't act like I don't, but I'm just like, you know, yeah. I did it. And it was pure write-ins too. That was what
Good
was fascinated
you.
Me, where I was like, I didn't ask for this. I've never said we were a surf school. Yeah. So I was like, there's something happening. There's some like churn going on.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow. You have some, you're a leader and you know how to feel the momentum and follow it. Good for you.
Thank you. You
moved into your own space. By the way, you could hear Bella on a Speak for Change podcast as well too, right?
Yep. Yeah. Cool. Thomas.
I hear Ryan. I don't know Thomas and I haven't heard the pod, frankly. I should have. See, a better podcaster would have listened to all this, you know,
but no.
I did see it on your IG and I didn't check out Thomas. Seems like a cool dude. And Ryan said like, Thomas is rad and you got to make sure you mention that Speak for Change podcast. So
epic.
And you co-emceed a Santa Cruz Juneteenth event with Thomas.
That was fun. That was an honor. It's like the one event that I feel like the Black community has had for years on end here. And it was just like such an honor to be on even the committee.
It's officially a national holiday too, right?
Epic. Yeah.
I think that is epic.
It's just change happens slowly. It's something I have to sit with.
And then and then sometimes all at once.
Boom, boom.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. I have more. You have more, but it's cool. Received the 2021 ACLU NorCal Bell of Freedom Award. What was that about?
That was another just awesome honor that I never would have seen coming. I remember just getting an email from this gentleman, Steve.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, Bella, you won. I was like, what is this?
What?
Yeah, I had never heard of it before.
What did you win for? Was it just for all of your endeavors or was it associated with one specific...
It was pretty much just for, kind of all of them collectively, just my role in the community, I think, basically in just 2020, 2021.
Yeah, they all blend together. You rested a lot.
A lot.
In all caps, you rested.
A lot. I lounged around in the sun like a little kitty last year. And I think that's where some of this like calmness that I have and the patience, I really just gave myself time to slow down and feel things, which is something I had been avoiding. Mm. And so taking the time to rest, lots of naps last year, because I just emotionally was burned out. I'm so grateful for it because it gave me so much clarity in regard to Black Surf. I realized how much of as a leader, this is connected to my internal just okayness, how I am is how I show up. And so if I am going to step into this role, I do have a responsibility to take care of myself. So I can show up as myself and not flustered and frantic. And so that change of pace, especially coming from a tech startup, was just so needed. I just needed to chill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The tech culture looks lame to me.
It's okay. So I miss free lunches.
Right.
I miss the perks, but the pace is just not realistic.
Really?
Yeah. At least where I was at, I loved my company pre-acquisition.
Right.
But I was a recruiter, and so as someone who's bringing people in at all levels of the company, losing that buy-in for myself just made me start to really hate my job a little bit because I'm someone who I wear my heart on my sleeve. Yeah. You can tell when I'm into something and when I'm not. And I was just I felt kind of fraudulent at a point where I was we were this great company and now we're not. And we're still bringing people into the culture that we were. Mm. And it was conflicting with my values.
Hey, you're recruiting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
it was fun. I loved being a recruiter, but yeah, just that culture.
But you had some ethical issue with recruiting someone into something that you didn't believe in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we lost it.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Again, that was a brave move.
Thank you.
All right, you got better and braver at surfing. Then you injured your shoulder kayaking. So lame. How's your shoulder now?
It's better. So it's a weird injury in that, like, it doesn't feel like it's a muscle. It kind of, like, spasms down my arm sometimes. Mm. But I also think there's so much value in sweating and moving. Yeah. And so I'm ready to just risk it. I just worry because as someone who's a beginner surfer, those moments where if I get stuck in and I need to get out, and I'm like, oh, my shoulder. That's where I'm like, is that smart? Is that fair to other people there?
Well, hey, Cowell's on that big 10-0 or Capitola. You're not going to get
Cowell's
hurt out there.
Looked so fun this week.
Yeah.
So
there were a lot of waves this week.
So fun.
I didn't get out, but it was cool. Yeah, it looked fun. Sometimes if I have a week that's just jam-packed, I don't even want to, like, see because you have that bug. Did you say?
Yeah.
FOMO.
Looking at Surfline, you're just mad. Mad into meeting, and they're like, what are you looking at? I'm like, oh.
Exactly. Yeah. People say Surfline ruined surfing, too, because it told all the folks like you and I when the waves are good. So it brings us out there. And Ryan mentioned this. He's like, I'm amazed at this, too. And Ryan's a good surfer. Ryan's a totally different pedigree of surfer than I am. But he's like, I'm amazed at how many... Almost like when there's swell in town, I think of it like 4th of July down here. Or like New Year. Like, I'm not leaving. You know what I mean? Like, that's like amateur hour, as they say, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's amateur hour out when the waves are up. There's hundreds and hundreds, right? But then there's like a bunch of good surfers. Like, how the hell? I've never seen you before. Not that I know everybody, but like, I've never seen this person before. Or, you know, like, where the hell did you come from?
Yeah.
And you're getting all the best waves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's so true.
You got better and braver with that. Well, I hope your shoulder... I don't know. You better get after it. Try it.
I know.
Water's good on your
shoulder. I haven't tried it, so like that's what we'll see.
You collaborated with Blended Bridge and Fuerza Santa Cruz. What's that?
Yes. So Fuerza Santa Cruz is an organization that works to get more Latinx folks into higher education. So they provide mm-hmm. scholarship funds. And for the last 2 years, we've hosted two events in the beach flat. So we did two backpack drives, which were just wildly successful. Mm. We were able to provide hundreds of backpacks to youth there, loaded with school supplies. Yeah. And then the holiday drive where, this was our second time with them, where we were able to provide like hundreds of gifts. We did a lottery, like not a lottery, but we gave out raffle tickets to the kids this year so that they could actually pick the gifts themselves. Mm. And being able to
That's
see.
Darling.
Yeah. It was really special to see just what kids gravitate towards. Some kids were like, I'm going to get this for my sibling. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, you get another ticket then. Yeah. Like, it's just precious. And so it just, yeah, it was really special to be able to support those communities.
I love that stuff. That stuff makes me misty-eyed.
I know. It's very special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The kids.
Kids are the best.
Kids are the best.
They know so much. They're so much better than us.
Yeah. Well, they're just kind of a blank slate, right?
Yep.
They don't have all the biases. And life hasn't beaten them down yet.
Yeah.
Life hasn't beaten you down either. I think you're going to make it.
Oh, thank you.
You did a drive and holiday drive. Mm-hmm. That was related with Fuerza, right? You just described that.
Yep.
Onward and upward. Wishing you all happy and healthy new year. This was, of course, December 30th of 2021. Quite a nice... eloquent post, I think. And congratulations on your 2021.
Thank you.
And Bella GMO, at Instagram?
Yep.
All right, cool. Bella GMO. Of course, it's BELLA GMO. Her name's Isabella, but I can call her Bella, she said. So.
Yep.
I want to keep talking to you, but I'm kind of running out of stuff to talk about. So how about, what are your goals for Black Surf?
Oh, I have a lot. I think one of the things I've been trying to do is not get too attached to any outcomes,
yeah.
to just let it organically flush out how it's supposed to, which is hard, but I would love to be able to start other chapters in other locations that struggle with just having a very low Black population, Black being represented along the coast, and just partner with organizations that are doing this in other spaces. And so, yeah, we're working. There's some, like, policy change stuff we're working on. There's a lot of just big projects. But ultimately, just, I guess my goal is to be able to get more Black and POC youth into junior guards. And there's such a valuable career pipeline that I think our our community is missing out on, that junior guards to lifeguard to paramedic to firefighter pipeline. So the recruiter in me is like really trying to fill that bucket up to get more folks into those spaces, more, you know, BIPOC youth in our high school surf schools. But I think ultimately the goal is just to be walking down Westcliff and for the lineup to accurately reflect what we're seeing on land.
Right.
A little bit more.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think it's killer. I think it's a beautiful thing. Have you had participants catch the bug like you? Like, oh, I've been surfing 2 years now since, you know, I went out there with you. You know what I mean?
Yes. So I've had a lot of times, too, where people will meet at events and, like, become really close. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey, friends.
That's cool.
But it's awesome because I've seen some really epic friendships and relationships come out of it.
Yeah.
There's a few folks that I think have gotten the bug. The gal that went and got the wetsuit.
Yep.
And she got a surf rack for her car,
too.
Cool.
She definitely has the bug. She's transporting a board. All right. Is there anything, you know, I get a humbly about 500 listeners an episode worldwide. So is there anything you'd like to say to the planet before I let you go today? I know you have something to say, and I bet it's nice.
Oh, I have a lot to say.
Okay, go ahead.
Gosh, I would say thank you for listening, and just don't be afraid to shake things up. And be the guiding principle, being about that action, what we talked about earlier. Don't be afraid to just show up, because that's the first step, and sometimes that'll just kick you into drive and to see exactly what you needed to see to illuminate that. So,
oh, yeah. Beautiful.
Show up.
We'll leave it at that.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you. What a delight.
Yo, Pierre, you want to come out here?
What a delight. That's what I say. You know, sometimes listening back to your podcast is like, it's very similar to watching yourself surf. You think you're doing well in the moment and you listen back and you're like, damn, I talked too much over that person. Just shut up and listen more. Anyway, thank you for listening. Bella is quite an impressive woman and a leader in our community, and hopefully a little inspirational to you too. Get off your ass and do something, right? All right. Don't forget to donate midlifesurfer.com. You get in a raffle, a drawing, whatever you want to call it, to win $200 in Oroko gear, Oroko.com, of course, to peruse all the nice gear that you're going to be buying with this $200 prize once you donate to midlifesurfer.com. And of course, Black Surf Club, SantaCruz.com, if you'd like to donate, read about it, see what the great Bella and her friends are up to. So God bless you for listening. I don't know what's coming up on the next pod, but it's going to be good. You're not going to want to miss it. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
Peace.
And I'm on the block.
Peace. All right.
And I'm on the block.
What a delight.
All right.
Hiding in my socks.
What a delight.
Hiding in my socks.
All right.
Selling every rock.
All right.
Dope.
All right.
In New York, I'm in the rock.
Yeah.
Hiding in my socks.
Yeah.
You say every rock.
Show.
Running in front of cops.
Show.
Shooting at the op.
Show.
Dope city, bitch.
Show up.
Show up.
Just don't be afraid to shake things up.